are listening to the Cleveland Guardians Fancast, hosted by Quincy Wheeler and friends, a podcast about the Cleveland professional baseball team and its fans.
This is Quincy Wheeler. We're here with the Guardians Fancast, and I'm here with Ryan. Ryan, how you doing today?
Doing good, man. How about yourself?
Good. Ryan, I realized I forgot to ask you, how do you say your last name, or how do you pronounce it?
Trammell, like camel, Trammell. But Trammell.
I was going to guess it was Trammell, but I was going to feel bad if it was Trammell or Trammell.
I've been called worse, man. Been called worse.
So anyway, all right, good. Well, good to have you here with us. Ryan, how did you become a Guardians fan?
Sure, yeah. So my mom's family is from Cleveland. I actually live in Alabama, born and raised here. My mother grew up, though, in Cleveland, Ohio. I worked in the Key Tower there. And so really as far back as I can remember, I was born in 91. I think the first baseball game that I can remember was Game 7 of Marlins-Indians World Series. And then, obviously, Jim Thome probably being my favorite player. And I remember Manny, you know, and those years, Vizquel. And, you know, I've just honestly just been truly addicted, I guess you could say, to all Cleveland sports. Just to that tie to my mom's family, you know, and going visiting family every summer. Just really since I can remember, man, I've been a diehard Cleveland sports fan.
That's great. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Over the years, as I've talked to people on this particular podcast, I've talked to people, a lot of people who are transplants. What's it like trying to follow Cleveland sports in Alabama? Do you find other Clevelanders around there besides your family? Sure. Or
it's funny about the experience, you know. So before the internet became what it is today, I remember we had dial-up internet. I'm sure you remember those days, too, and had the weird sound that would happen.
Yeah.
So I would, believe it or not, I would, around my bedtime, I was probably 7:30 or 8. And down here in the South, like, it's common courtesy. Like, you don't ever should call anybody really past 8 o'clock or 9 p.m., especially on a house phone back in the day. So I would hog up the internet with dial-up internet and watch the MLB game day on ESPN.com, and it would have, you know, like the in-play run scored.
Yeah.
That's how I watched Cleveland games, except for when, you know, they had a nationally, you know, broadcasted game, and that was very rarely, maybe on like a Sunday night baseball, maybe, you know, once or twice a year. So that's really how I – you know, was able to keep in touch with Cleveland, at least on a live basis. Then finally, XM, Sirius Satellite Radio, came out. Obviously got hooked on Tom Hamilton for years. And thankfully today, you know, I purchased the MLB at Bat package through my, you know, my phone app, and I can basically tune into any game, watch video or audio. So that's been nice.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, technology's definitely made it easier than it was back in the day. And now, admittedly, you know, I've lived in Ohio my whole life, but at different times of my life, I didn't have cable. My parents were pretty poor, so my dad's a pastor, so if we were at a place where they provided cable for the pastor, we had cable. Otherwise, we didn't have it. So a lot of my childhood, I spent just listening on a radio. My mom actually got this big karaoke machine that was also a radio that she would use to do children's choir stuff at church.
Yeah.
And she stopped using it. She used a different thing. So I brought that big thing into my room and just used it as a radio. And I must have used that for probably, I don't know, 10 or 12 years of my life. I used it even after, you know, I had the ability to do other things. I would just turn it on to go to sleep at the end of the day, listen to Joe Tate call Cavs games, listen to Tom Hamilton call Indians games. Good times.
You probably wouldn't take those days back for nothing, would you?
Yeah. I definitely learned to love the radio. Nowadays, it seems, unfortunately, it doesn't seem like there's as much great radio content, but the sports radio, I mean, as far as games goes, nothing quite like listening to a baseball game on the radio, but I enjoy basketball on the radio a lot too. So yeah, it's cool to think about those connections. So what are your thoughts on the Guardians so far this season?
Baseball.
Sure. I mean, obviously, I guess off to a 6-2 start. I can't tell you, Quincy, the last time I feel like the bats were this hot, as early as it has been this season. I mean, look at the last three pitchers we faced too. It's been a
Yeah.
very exciting thing to see. And kind of a question to you, do you think there's been any type of instructional change, or do you think this is just a hot stretch? I mean, what do you call it? What do you make of this,
Yeah.
hitting performance?
I definitely I do believe that they came off of last season and encouraged guys to say, "Hey, we need to try to find some more power." I don't know that it was probably a huge approach change because I think they've always emphasized Kwan had an interview last year where he went through like the five principles of Guardians hitting, and there was like contact, quality of contact were a couple of the big things that they emphasized. So I think they've always emphasized it, but I definitely think after last season they were like, guys, we really got to find a way to get some more power. And so I think, guys like Freeman went to the gym, and tried to make sure they had the muscle that they needed. And then guys like Brennan probably focused on how to get the right pitches to hit and how to lift the ball. A lot of it comes down to pulling the pitches that you can pull and lifting the pitches that you can lift. And I think that, if you can do those things and you have the ability to make contact, it'll come naturally. But it was frustrating that they couldn't get that going last year, and it's been exciting to see them be able to pull it off more this year.
No, I agree with you completely. And my glass half full approach on it is, I think some of us were a bit, I wouldn't say concerned, but we were looking forward to maybe some changes, whether it be through, from the outside the organization. But to me now, and what you just said, right, maybe they say, look, let's go with this new concept. Let's see what we have internally, before we pursue anything externally, with what we have and the early, and look to me, it looks like an early payoff. Again, it's only what, 8 games in. But like I was just dreading how the Nolan Jones situation worked itself out. But like I think he's batting under 100 right now. Again, it's only 8 games for him too, though. So like, it's
Yeah.
just hard to make heads or tails of it right now on anything, I think. But no, I love what I'm seeing so far.
It's hard to tell anything with 8 games. I mean, I think Nolan Jones will probably be what we always generally assumed he'd be, a guy who'll hit right-handers pretty well, probably will struggle against left-handers, and will handle the outfield pretty well. And will be able to, hit some homers and take some walks. I think he'll be that eventually, but if they get, good performance out of Chase DeLauder and Tyler Freeman's sixth in center field, they'll be fine. It'd be nice. Hopefully Juan Brito's okay too.
Oh yeah, no, I'm banking on him too. That would
That'd
be
be great.
nice.
That'd be great. Yeah. It's been an exciting start to the season. I mean, I was excited coming off the 5-2 West Coast trip, but then they took the opener today as we talk from the Twins, the home opener, which is exciting to take your rival team's home opener. And I just they seem like this Guardians team has that kind of mindset that you always saw with Tito led Guardians teams, where they just always have a little extra fight left in them. Even if you're like, oh, they might lose this game, they're still gonna like give their best. And I think that Stephen Vogt seems like the kind of guy to continue in that tradition.
Oh, no doubt. I think Vogt, is the perfect match, for where we are as an organization right now too, with a bunch of young guys mixed in with some veterans. And no, I think that's going to pan out great. And though you're talking about the Twins today, like, isn't it crazy how you take a rise off that team, but now with Lewis hurt, which, don't get me wrong, a healthy Royce Lewis is just a scary, scary figure for me. I think he could be a perennial all-star. Who knows, may have some MVP votes. I mean, I think he's that good. But when you pull him out of that lineup, I'm just not that scared of him. I mean, do you kind of get the same vibes?
Yeah, I think so. Hold on just a second, Ryan.
You're
Hold
good.
on just a second. Augie, what do you want? Okay, you need to go to bed. Okay. Okay, come tell him something. Tell Mr. Ryan something.
Hey.
Tell him something.
Ryan.
Hello.
Tell him something.
We were watching a movie and we weighed on a floor.
Oh, that's
Really?
great.
That's awesome, man.
Oh, jeez. He's excited. Well, they're excited because they have a kid in their class named Ryan. So they thought I was talking to the kid in their class when I told him I was talking to Ryan.
Cool, man. That's awesome.
We'll see what I can leave it in of that in the interview because I'm sure people would enjoy that. So Ryan and I, we had a fun time at least for a little while on Guardians Twitter. Okay, Augie, I'm going to introduce this part again in a minute. You need to go lay down. Did you hear me? You told me when you talked to Ryan, you go lay down, right?
Yeah, Ryan.
Okay.
What do you know that I want to
Okay, go lay down.
be done? What is
Okay, thank you. Go lay down. All right, so introducing that part again. So Ryan and I, we had a fun time on Guardians Twitter where Ryan, you had a little bit of a scoop about the Guardians and Shane Bieber. You remember that whole experience?
I think I'm starting to recollect on that a little bit, Quincy.
Now, I always appreciate it. Every now and then people come to me and say, "Hey, I've got a scoop on this or that." And I tend to think that most of the time people don't, I obviously there are times you can tell people are pulling your leg or stuff, but I believe that you had some information about that because I also heard it from other sources that the Guardians were in pretty advanced talks trying to see if they could trade Bieber. They obviously didn't end up trading Bieber. And I would guess that a couple of things came into play. I think the Guardians very typically go into trade talks saying we've got to get this or we're not going to move a guy. So I think part of it probably was them looking at video from Driveline and saying, hey, looks like he's figuring some stuff out. So we're not going to definitely move off of the price range that we've got. And then I think a big piece of it was figuring out the Bally Sports situation where they didn't feel like they had to cut payroll. So I think that there might have been something in the works that was getting close, but then it probably fell apart because the Guardians said, we're not really going to budge on this at all. Is that your guess of what happened?
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not fooling anybody. I mean, to me, the Guardians have always been, and previous to the Indians, have always been a pretty tight-lipped organization, right? You don't really know what's going on until after it happens. But, I undoubtedly, do have, I would consider a source that I trust. But yeah, I think a multitude of events happened, and maybe it was by design, right? That they kind of wanted to get a leak out there that they was nearing a trade to see what they could truly get. And maybe they had some offers even after I'd made my tweet. I think like Morosi, which he can at sometimes be questionable, so that didn't really excite me much. But he made a tweet alluding to literally exactly what I had said, well, I guess an hour after I made my tweet. But no doubt they were shopping him. I think they were trying to get, see what the max offer would be prior to the season. And I'll say this, and I mean, this isn't coming from a source, this is coming from me just as a fan, but I just don't see how Bieber isn't traded, by the deadline of this year. Of course, after these two starts, Lord, I'm glad they didn't trade him. And if he can stay healthy, I think it's almost twofold on what we're going to get in return this summer versus what we would have gotten, 2 or 3 months ago when we talked about this, Quincy, because you're looking at a, his velocity was down, didn't have just the greatest, season last year, and now he's like a totally different player. So I'm glad it didn't happen.
That's an interesting point that you bring up there, and now you can get on Guardian's Twitter and say he's for sure going to be traded at the deadline, and then you can start some more beef on Guardian's Twitter if you want. But I actually you can start beef with me if you want, Ryan. Not really. I'm somebody who tries not to, but
Let me, hey, real quick about the beef
yeah, go
though,
ahead.
and I just want to just so like. For me, like my professional life, Quincy, like it's pretty serious, right? And like, it's serious being a dad and all the things that I do. I like golf. I play a lot of golf competitively, I guess you could say. But so like Twitter's kind of to me like Narnia. I don't know. It's just like a fantasy land. It's just everything. thing, you know, anything goes, you know, it's like the Wild Wild West. So don't get me wrong, sometimes it is fun to prod on there, but it's just, I mean, it can just be wild sometimes. So yeah, there was a few statements that I had made, and I just don't like when people are condescending and calling people out and kind of taking the holier than thou or feeling like they're better than somebody. So I just, to me, it's just nothing. It's nothing off my back just to fire something off, man. So it just is what it is.
I hope that people listening to this can hear your southern drawl and know that I don't know. Maybe people haven't had the experience of having a southern friend and understand like how that kind of back and forth can go, and at the end of the day you just kind of kick back and have a cold beverage and enjoy yourself, you know, with your friend that you've kind of gone back and forth with. That I get
Exactly.
that. I actually, and I didn't see the whole beef thing. I didn't even see any of it. I just got blocked because of it apparently. But
Sorry
anyway,
about that.
no, that's all right. That's all right. It's just funny, like you said about taking it. It reminds me though. It reminds me of, I got blocked by a pretty big Guardians account because I made fun of the account for blocking other people. Ironically, the account was just blocking everybody, this account, and so I made fun of him a little bit. And somebody told me, they were like, "This isn't a game. You can't be saying these things about this person's account being too sensitive and blocking everybody because Twitter is not a game." And I was like, "Oh Lord, somebody
Oh,
takes
God.
Twitter seriously." Because I mean, I love the Guardians Twitter community. I love being able to talk about
Yeah.
baseball there. But I'm not there to accumulate a bunch of followers. I'm not there to, you know, get everybody to, you know, think that I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread. But it's a great way to find resources to follow the team and learn more about the team. And, you know, you find people that I found a bunch of people there that have begun to write for the site that I work with. And
Right.
that's obviously nowhere near like my main job or anything. It's just something I do in my spare time. And I don't know. Yeah, I kind of hear what I guess as to say, I get where you're coming from that it's not really that serious and it should be fun.
Oh man.
So,
And to
anyway.
set the record straight, like always, if anybody, I think there's a few people, and I'm being honest with you, I don't even remember their names, but I think maybe they were offended. And I do apologize. I would never try to, you know, legitimately like hurt someone. But again, it's Twitter. And you know, let's be honest, Quincy, sometimes if you put yourself out there with, and even like me, right, with my statement, right, of saying that I felt like Bieber was going to be traded imminently, and I still stand by that. Every person has the right to argue against that. I made that public knowledge, right? I posted it to the world to see. And so when other accounts make interesting comments or very strong opinions, I mean, they kind of forfeit their right, you know, to not necessarily backlash, but comments, right? Replies. I mean, it's just the nature of social media. So I feel like you just said about blocking. I don't think I've ever really blocked anybody on Twitter unless it was like a direct threat, you know, which I don't think I've ever had one of those. But I'm sure after this podcast release, Quincy, there'll be a few people who's like, who's this guy? Let's, you know, but anyway, no, I come in peace, my friend. I'm just a dumb Southern redneck that can count to 10 on most
now,
days. So.
don't put yourself down. But yeah, no, I get you. And I am more free with the block button in some ways, and not because just because for me sometimes I only block people that are like mostly disrespectful to other people rather than me. Just because I have, like you said, so much stress in my regular life of just trying to be
Yes.
a dad and husband and worker at my job, that there are some things that I just don't need to see 24/7 when I go on Twitter. So
I
that's
understand.
usually my perspective. But yeah, it's kind of fun to talk about those things.
Yeah.
I think we've learned something. In general, I keep learning about scoops. You know, I recently had a scoop where we learned that Miles Straw was on waivers and we were the first ones at Covering the Corner to come out with that. And I wanted to try to do it in the right way. You know, I had permission to run with it. And so I said, this is a rumor. I've got good sources on this, so I believe it to be true. And I think Probably I could have just said, hey, this is true. He's on waivers. Because
Right.
I knew it was the case. I was absolutely confident. But I did think that, it's, I don't know. It just seems like it's better to couch everything with saying, hey, I guess nothing's 100% until you see the team say it. So I don't know if I'll do that next time if I ever get a scoop like that or not. But it was my perspective, and I'm sure that our experience of kind of playing in the scoops world played a part in how I approached that.
Oh, no doubt. And like it's funny too though, because like, man, I'm just, like literally a nobody in the world of sports journalism, right? Like if Passan makes a tweet that I made, like, obviously that's could be a career ender, and he would definitely be looked frowned upon, because I mean he has a obligation and a standard to uphold. But dude, I'm just like I'm just some random dude in Alabama that, does actually have, someone that I obviously will never name
Well,
who does have ties. But
Brian,
it is
well,
interesting.
I was just gonna say, well, John Heyman did tweet that Aaron Judge was going to San Francisco, so, and he's still out there.
Hey, that's a good point. But it's funny, Quincy, because you did dive into my DMs, obviously, after I'd made that tweet. And you and I have, I think, followed each other for a good bit. And I've never really went off the limb making a tweet like that. And you know that. But like, I've probably had over 10 people, I would say three of which were pretty interesting folks to be DMing me about that, which it made me believe, Quincy, that it's either there's a disconnect within the organization, or at least the local sports media, or maybe they had heard it too, like you said, right? Because you said you heard it from more than just me. So it was just interesting that immediately there were over 10 folks. And I would, like I said, I would say 3 to 5 of them are legitimate media, had asked me, where, how's it sourced, and what exactly do I know? So there had to be something there, for me, A, for the guy that I know to tell me what he told me, but two is for others to make that assumption or that statement.
And I think the best evidence of what you're saying would be if you go back and look at articles from Mandy Bell, from Zach Meisel, and from Paul Hoynes in that time period. They all predict that Shane Bieber is going to get traded because I think that they knew there were conversations going on and that they were fairly serious about the idea. So, yeah, I think that part of it ages well. And we just maybe learned that in the future, just want to make sure you give yourself plenty of room to say, things can change. Things can change.
Hey, well, here it is, Quincy. Things can change, guys. So there you go. But there was one
No, I
thing
know.
before we get off here, Quincy. I was in, just a quick story just to show you kind of that I am not just a random Cleveland fan. Like I'm a legitimate Cleveland fan. I want you guys to know that. So like 2016, game two, ALDS. I made it up to Red Sox and Indians. I think I can't remember who pitched for the Red Sox that game. If you gave me enough time, I would think, but I'm pretty sure
Was Josh
it.
Tomlin pitching for the Indians?
Yep, it was Tomlin, and for it was Price. It was David Price from game
Oh,
two.
yeah, Price.
Yeah. So anyway, my buddy who went with me, we made the trip starting at like 7 p.m. Drove straight through the night. We stayed at my first cousin's place, who lives like 10 minutes from the stadium. Got up, went to that game. So anyways, right, let's fast forward to the World Series, game six. Not, we go, I thought we was gonna win that, I thought we was gonna win game five, right? But anyways, we get to game six. I'm like, oh my God, this is going 7 games. And so my first cousin had some tickets, had a friend with some tickets. And as you know, those ticket prices were not cheap. I think I ended up paying $1,100 for my ticket. But as soon as the last pitch was made in game six, I pack up an overnight bag. I immediately get in my car and I drive 11 hours straight to Cleveland. Take about a 2 hour nap. I wake up, do some pre-gaming. Won't go into specifics there, but had a good time. I don't know if you guys ever heard of Mingy beef jerky, but I had a big pack of beef jerky with me. I ate it. I got Miller Lite fan of the game at some random bar. That way, I don't even know how that
Oh,
happened, but made my way to the game and I had a great time. And I tell you, Quincy, being there for Rajay's shot in the eighth against Chapman, we might as well have won the World Series. I have never, as a sports fan, I've been to some pretty good sporting events. I could go in for details of all the games I've been to, but nothing will ever top that moment. Just pure euphoria, like I was floating on a cloud. It was so loud, but it was so silent at the same time, you know?
Yeah.
And we might as well have won the World Series when that happened. So that's probably my favorite memory as a sports fan, was obviously making that trip, but watching that homer, and then we know what happens after that. But it was a good time.
No, I'm really glad you shared that story, because I feel the same way about Rajay's homer. I was watching it at home. I know some people can't watch the clip, don't want to talk about it, but I feel the same way about you. It's just a euphoric moment for me. It was just one last time for that team to remind me that you could never count them out. And it explained to me how, even in the bottom of the 10th, I still felt like maybe Michael Martinez was going to hit a two-run homer, because they just would do these incredible things that you never could have thought they'd do. And it's a shame that not actually winning the World Series takes away a little bit of people's joy from that team, because that team was just pretty much pure joy the whole time. And there's going to be guys on that team that we're going to be talking to our kids and grandkids about forever. So,
and I'm glad you said that too. And this was one of the most important moments for me as a sports fan. Is so after, you know, Bryant throws it to first, ball game over. We know what happens. But beside me, there was a grandfather and a grandson, both in Cubs uniforms, or, you know, the shirts, the jerseys, and had their white flags they were waving with the W's on it, and both just crying and embracing each other. And, like, in that moment right then, Quincy, I was like, you know, man, like, this is sports. You got to love it. And, you know, so obviously I want to experience that for myself, being a Guardians fan. But in that moment, man, I promise you, I had no more anger. I was like, dude, this is what it's about, man. This is why we buy the tickets, why we invest in the athletic.com or all these scoops we got to get. Because at the end of the day, you know, we're trying to get to the mountaintop. And the Cubs finally done it. You know, it was just a beautiful moment. Man, I just couldn't be mad. At that moment, I just wasn't mad anymore. I was like, maybe, you know, this was meant to happen this way. And it was a good thing to see.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Well, Brian, I can tell that you and I could talk for hours about this. We'll have to do it again sometime. But I appreciate you coming on with me.
Well, hey, thanks for having me, man. And I'm sure we'll talk again.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
All right, so.
This has been the Cleveland Guardians Fancast. You can find us on any major podcast platform. Please remember to like, subscribe, download, rate, and review. Thank you for listening.